All right, welcome to another episode of the Streaking the Lawn podcast. Once again, my name is Pierce, and once again, I've got Caroline with me. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. How are you
doing? I'm doing well. We have a very special guest tonight.
Yay!
StreakingTheLawn.com's Matt Ellis. Matt. Matthew. Mateus, how are you?
Hey, guys. It's only been like, I don't know, what were we, like 4-2 in football the last time I did this?
We're just glad football? That you're still alive.
I don't follow football.
We made it to 5-1, so couldn't have been.
Nah, all I remember is losing. Okay, but we're here to talk about the basketball team and the lacrosse team. Let's talk about the lacrosse team to start things off. We're just going to chat about the Hoos because they keep winning and all kinds of things. Lacrosse team's 2-0, correct, Caroline?
That is correct. They picked up a big win to open the season over Loyola. Loyola was number 10 at the time. Virginia was 15, depending on the poll you looked at. And it was a great game. They were down by 5, managed to come back, took 2-goal lead. Loyola fought back in, ended up going to overtime. Doc Aiken with the game winner off the faceoff. They followed that up with a road win at Drexel, big road win, to go 2-0. They're up to number 6 in the rankings this week.
Which that is seems big. High.
Yeah, I think they got a little bit of a bump from Loyola, then went on to obliterate Johns Hopkins. So it gave a little bit more. I think it was like 12-5 or something like that, that Loyola just manhandled Hopkins. So I think people looked at that like, oh, that was a better win than we thought.
Yeah.
A couple really good first years. Ian Laviano started up. He had 5 goals in the first game. Doc's 8, and he's his second year now. He had 4 goals against Drexel. Griffin Thompson started both games in the cage. He's been really good. He's averaging 12 saves a game, 55% save percentage. And the faceoff guy has been outstanding, and he's winning like 60-some%. So he's a Monmouth transfer. So
Monmouth.
Yeah, so they played – by the time you listen to this, they will have already played tonight against High Point. So they should be 3-0. We'll check out some LAC stuff. They're doing pretty well. They play Princeton at home on Saturday at 1.
I saw the women defeated Elon in their opener.
They did.
Soundly.
They did. Yeah, they're also top 15. I think somewhere right around 15. So
UVA, good at lacrosse again.
Yeah, and baseball started off 2-1 too. So, win.
Okay, done with the spring sports. Then on to basketball. Number 1 in the country.
Woo-hoo!
Which is a development since we last podcasted. So let's talk about that. I mean, that's a big deal. It's been a long time. Matt, you weren't even born the last time UVA was number 1, correct?
Were either of you guys?
I don't know.
No, probably not. I wasn't either.
Yeah.
Okay, then I wasn't. We're the same age. None of us was born. What does this mean to you, Matt, to see number 1 Virginia at the top of the polls?
It's kind of crazy, right? I think we all thought that year when we had, you know, Justin and Anthony Gill, that year we started off like 18-0 before losing to Duke on game day, that if there was a year we were going to be number 1, that was going to be the year. But of course, that was the year Kentucky went like 38-0 before losing to Wisconsin. So on the one hand, on the one hand, it's, you know, the t-shirts, I think, are like a little ridiculous because we're number 1 for 2 weeks, hopefully more. In February. But on the other hand, you know, the NCAA tournament is so random that I don't think you can always just boil a season down to that. So looking at it and saying, you know, we got the first number 1 ranking in 35 years or 40 years, whatever, I forget if it was 72 or 82 now.
82.
Okay, 35 years. I was right the first time. Okay. Saying that we were able to do that, especially with a team that didn't have the expectations of past year's teams, I think it's really incredible.
Yeah, that's a good point. Coming from unranked all the way up there, there's not a lot of people who've done that. And I think you're right that it's good to celebrate the achievement because it's been a long time. And certainly I think it's another notch on the like Tony Bennett accomplishment mark, and something that back when we were in college, we would not have expected to happen down the road necessarily. Well, maybe Caroline did. Dreams of future
I always have high hopes.
Pinnacle achievement. But to your t-shirt point, so help me God, if like next year they make it to number one again and they make more t-shirts for being number one. Like, this is, okay, we've done it.
Yeah, this is the only time you can do it. This is the only time you can make the t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Move on.
It won't be 35 years again until the next
right. But it's already time to move on now, you know, regardless of how they finish the regular season. It's clearly becoming March any day now. Who knows how many days from now it'll be March. I think it's coming up soon, and that's really what matters. And it's just going to be so – I don't mean to be pessimistic, but if they don't succeed in March, it's going to be so annoying. And not just because we're fans of the program and want them to win, but because it's just going to feed into that narrative about Bennett and about Virginia and how they play.
Yeah.
So we move on, we celebrate it, and not in that order, that we've got the NCAA tournament success coming up. Caroline.
Yeah, I think I absolutely 100% agree with that. That's one of the things that I kind of put something together that's like, this is the latest in the list of accomplishments that Tony Bennett's ticked off, but none of that really... It matters. I don't want to say none of it matters unless they make a Final Four. But you're right. That's like the last thing. Like, will the style work? And I'm like, don't come at me. I've got that's a whole nother podcast. That's a whole nother day. And I get the people that say that. But again, making the Final Four is hard. For me, because of the loss to Virginia Tech, which honestly, I was pretty much over it relatively quickly. And I think that that is just a side effect of like, maybe because I had to talk to Devin after he missed those free throws, and like, he knows, you can see it on his, I think it helps me get over things a little bit quicker when, like, rather than sitting at home
Yeah.
over stuff, I can like see the kid's reaction, because he is, he's, you know,
that they're real 20,
they're real people. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I wasn't expecting to see number one Virginia, right? Everyone was like, ah, well, maybe next week, maybe if Villanova loses again or whatever.
Sure.
So in preparing the weekly like polls release article, I'm sitting there, I do my normal like refreshing the AP poll website at noon. I got a little emotional, I'm not gonna lie. And I think part of that was surprise. I think a lot of that was surprise. And I didn't think it would be as big of a deal to me as it ended up being, which is kind of weird to say too. Like, it's just really kind of fun to see the little one next. I don't know. Like, and hopefully, and eventually that will become a thing that is whatever. I think when people had said it had been that long, I kind of forgot that Virginia didn't get to number one in either the Brogdon season or the Anderson season. Like,
yeah. I think that speaks to how little it really matters, right?
Right, like,
we had successful but not NCAA championship Final Four seasons. Sure. And we look back and we're like, those were so awesome. They were close to NCAA's success, but you know, winning conference championships matters than being number one.
And even. I don't know what was going on today, but twice people decided to throw clips from that tournament run, the 2014. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, someone posted a thing about the Tevin foul today. I don't know why. And I was like, oh, dang, that team was so good. Like, I went back into that spiral of like, dang it. No, Joe Harris.
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. It was just, that's the thing. Like, being number one is a cool thing. I think they handled the pressure well in the next game. They went on the road and played well against a tough Miami team. And that was nice. The best was Tony's reaction when someone asked him after the game, like, oh, were the kids worried about, you know, last time they were number one, Virginia lost to Chaminade. Tony had the best answer of like, these guys, like, I try and use Karate Kid as a reference for them, and they don't even know that there was an original Karate Kid. Right. So he's like, they think Karate Kid is the one with Will Smith's son. So it's, I think I don't have any worries about this team.
It was more than nice, that Miami game. That was huge. It was momentous.
Sure.
It was hugely important for them to go look decent, and they had their issues. Obviously, Miami's a good team, but to win on the road following up an absolute disaster of a loss. And I use that phrasing about the Virginia Tech game, not that it matters now because of that Miami win. I think if you had coupled it, even with it, expecting to go to Miami and lose that game, which many of us would have been totally, you know, reasonable to expect, we're bound to drop one. Obviously, this is a tough place to go on the road, and we haven't had a lot of success there. It would have been normal for the team to lose there otherwise, but that would have been an absolute just 2 weeks of hell for the players, obviously for the fans, you know, to think they had this opportunity and they lost it in embarrassing fashion to the worst team to lose that opportunity to in Virginia Tech. It was an absolute disaster that Saturday, and they totally made up for it in my mind by, well, not totally. They 90% made up for it with the Miami game, because it changes the storyline. It sets them up to still be the one seed in the ACC, to hopefully still be the one seed in the NCAA tournament. And assuming they have some sort of success in either of those, particularly the NCAAs, then the Virginia Tech loss means absolutely nothing. I mean, it could be more rivalry talk. Oh, we beat you when you were good and we weren't that good. But it doesn't matter. If they had kept losing, you know, if they had lost the Miami game, or if they falter in both tournaments in March, then it sticks more to me. But hopefully we won't have to deal with that.
So what do you consider, you guys have talked about success in March, right? Does that mean a Final Four for you guys, like anything short of that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, losing an Elite Eight game to a good team on, and you look good doing it and it just doesn't go your way. Like, yeah, I could still be somewhat happy, particularly because the preseason expectations
weren't
that great. But no, I'm talking making the Final Four or winning the conference tournament. If they won the conference tournament and they lost in the Sweet 16 to, you know, some mediocre squad, I'd still be happy. I just think winning the conference tournament is such a huge deal for this program that it would suck to still have the NCAA evidence, you know, and have that continue to say that. But I would still consider the season a success. Maybe I'm in the minority there.
No, I think you're probably right there, right? I think everyone obviously wants to hang another banner.
Yeah.
For the Final Four that hasn't happened in so long. But, you know, it you look at the mock brackets that come out, and sometimes you look at it and it's like, okay, we're the number one. The two is Auburn. The three is Texas Tech. And then, and then it's like, okay, we need to make a Final Four.
Right.
Other times we're the number one. The two is Michigan State. The three is Duke. And the four is West Virginia. And the eight is Florida.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And just like, okay, well, maybe we'll make the Sweet 16.
Right.
So it's yeah, there's so much just luck of the draw to it.
And that's where I think the criticism of, you know, no, this style will never win in March or whatever is so much of that, Matt, where it's like the matchups are so fickle. And you're right. I think that's also what people will look at, is if the latest Lunardi won, like, I would, other than possibility for seeing Syracuse and like the sweet, was it round of 32? Anyway,
Yeah.
I was like, I would prefer not to get that narrative going again. But I was like, you could lock me into this. Like, be a, no Butler in the 8-9 game, like that kind of thing. And you're right, it had like Auburn and Texas Tech, who are good teams, but just obviously I think a little bit a better matchup than like a Michigan State would be. Golly, I get so excited and then nervous and then excited and then want to throw up like when I think about this team. Yeah.
Well, that narrative, you know, the sample size is small, and it just means that you're good. Right.
And it just means that people didn't watch those games. Like, if you can watch that Michigan State Virginia game and say Virginia, like, can't perform in the postseason, then you just don't watch college basketball, and I don't have time to try and convince you. Like, the second one, like, without Justin, like, that just stunk. Like, they didn't play well. And obviously, the Florida one without
Justin. Justin played in that game. He just played.
He did. He just wasn't there.
Yeah. He had come back in the ACC tournament. It just, it wasn't.
But he wasn't the only one. Like, nobody could hit a three. Like,
no, I remember. Yeah.
I would say that game, yeah, the whole team stunk. I think that game is evidence that, you know, they don't show up for the NCAAs, which isn't necessarily true, but what they are is lacking the evidence of success. And the Syracuse game is the killer one. Obviously, we think of the Michigan State game because it was such a great game against an atrociously underseeded opponent, and everyone in the country knew they were underseeded, so it was a shame that it everyone worked out that, that upset, you know, that everyone knew was going to happen. But you can argue with the logic of it, which certainly I do against people who bring it up. Sure. But until they get that success,
I know
they're still a little more right than we are, you know, just because of the evidence. And that's my point. It's only been a few years of NBA playing this top tier basketball. So it's like, oh, you don't make a Final Four in what, four seasons, five seasons? Well, yeah, a lot of teams haven't made the Final
Four. Yeah, exactly.
And we're not doing it with blue chip guys other than, you know, some solid three, the occasional four star. So
I went back and looked through some of the, like, the big name coaches that, you know, have had mixed sort of March success, but overall ended up being named great coaches, like Jim Boeheim, right, who won 600 something games, but only has the one national title to it. It took him 9 years to make his first Final Four. It took Jim Calhoun at UConn 13. It took Bo Ryan 13. It took Lute Olson 13 at Arizona. Right. This is Tony's ninth year at Virginia.
Jay Wright, you know,
Jay Wright took forever. Tony took over a god awful
dumpster fire. Like, god awful
team.
As far as I'm concerned, like, Tony Bennett's, like, tenure starts in 2013.
Yeah, yeah, like, a team that, like, recently had Calvin Baker playing basketball, who was one of the worst players I've ever seen. He dribbled with his head down. It's incredible.
I love having Matt on.
He's so bad. But yeah, no, from where it came from, I think at some point you can only get so many number one seeds before the tournament is random becomes a bad excuse, and maybe this is that year. But it's close.
This is the third in 5 years. Is that right? I think that sounds right.
Because we got the two the second time we lost to Michigan State. We were one the first time we lost. We were one against Syracuse.
Yeah.
Yes, this would be clear.
So that's the thing, too. It's extremely hard to overperform when you're a one or two seed.
True.
You really can only underperform. So that's also a tough, you know, whatever it is.
But they also haven't performed to that level. You know, they haven't been, like, flat.
Right. But that's making a Final Four. Yeah. Like, performing to your seed is making a Final Four. And that's in a one-off tournament format, I just think it's – and that's why making the Final Four gets a banner.
It's still daunting. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's not easy. I just get so – this team can do it. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Jazz hands, this team can do it.
Headline, no Caroline doubt. Is optimistic about Virginia.
I did not think last year's team could make the Final Four.
You were right.
Caroline, capable of rational thought sometimes, is optimistic this year about Virginia.
I can't wait until Virginia wins a national championship because of, like, a Jack Salt Tippin, and I will never shut up.
I would be very happy for you.
Ever.
If he does that, I will fly to New Zealand and just, like, go around thanking his ancestors.
But that's, like, I think this team, the Virginia Tech loss and a couple games here and there, like, they're not going to shoot perfectly every game. I think what they showed against Miami is that they can learn from not putting the ball into the lane. And they did that a lot, and they got a lot of good inside-out motion. The passing was crisp. But obviously, this is a team, like, if they – in looking at the Tech game, Virginia played, like, butt. They should have won in overtime. Tony was right when he said it would have been a stolen game. Like, they should not have had any business winning that game.
Question. Why, Caroline? Because I know you'll disagree with me. Why should I not be worried about Devin Hall in that position in future games?
You should absolutely be worried.
Because the last time he did it, he made the next, like, 20 free throws.
In that opportunity, or just
he missed,
like,
two? He missed two at. Well, yeah, he made some at Duke that were important.
Okay.
Didn't he? I'm pretty sure.
I thought that was Kyle.
Kyle made a couple, but
I think Kyle missed and made.
Kyle missed and made. Ty missed one. I think Devin made a couple. I just don't doubt the kid. He's human. The ones he shot, like, that one that rimmed out, come on. Like, that's just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be some
yeah.
bad bounce, bad luck to it. Some. Yeah.
I trust him. He's a captain. He responded the last time. And making free throws, like, I don't think that there were any – I don't think he missed those because it was like a, he got stressed out in a pressure situation. He missed it because mm-hmm. it rimmed out and it happened. Like, that's it.
All right.
That's my
why should I be worried?
Yeah. About Devin?
Yeah.
You know, he's – it's weird because at the same time, I'm not sure that there's someone I'd rather have on the line. Probably Kyle.
Apparently maybe. Isaiah.
You know what? It's not Isaiah.
When I was saying when he made those two, I was like, they're going to win. Isaiah's yeah. making free throws.
Momedy has a really nice free throw shot, actually. I don't know what he's shooting. I can look that up. But
maybe DeAndre, because he's our best player. He's our best player.
No, but, I agree.
But you probably want Devin on there, but it's weird that I'm blanking on the games, but it feels like there have been multiple times when Devin's gone to the line when we're up two or up one or tied yeah. or down one, and it just hasn't. Whatever he's shooting for his career, which is probably like 80-something%, I feel like he's shooting about 60% in those situations.
He's shooting 90% still right now from the charity stripe. Momedy is shooting 80%, 80.6.
How many
Kyle, free throws made 25 out of 31, Momedy.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, he's taking yeah. enough. He's got a good shot. It looks good. Anyway, yeah, I totally agree. I still probably want Devin at the line, but I would be nervous.
Jack is shooting 41%, by the way.
Yeah, I do not want Jack on the free throw line. I don't even want him in the game if it's close.
And I don't want him with the ball.
How dare you? That's one of the things, too, with there haven't been a ton of situations like that because Virginia's literally been leading by so many when it comes to that type of situation. I think Devin hit some against, like, Syracuse, is what I'm thinking, like, in that.
Did he not miss some with the game on the line in the BC game?
That's the last time he missed him. That's what I'm saying. He came back, and then he missed to open ACC play, mm-hmm. and then he went the next, like, 12 games without missing one.
Right. But none were with, like, you know, a 4-point lead.
Yeah, but then the Syracuse one staved off a comeback.
Sure, sure. Like yeah. He was huge.
In situations that were important. But huge. I get what you're saying. Syracuse. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
So, I think we're all on the same page, though, that he's probably the guy we want there for sure. DeAndre Hunter is are you going in the lottery pick? Is that what ESPN is telling me these days?
Absolutely.
He's going pro. He's gonna. We got 1 year after a red shirt of him in Charlottesville. I don't
think. Yeah. Not yet. Not like, I think. Yeah. Right. I think they had something where they projected him in 2019.
Yeah.
As a first round pick.
Right. So I don't think anyone's expecting him to go pro after this season.
So I need everyone to just stop talking about, like, what are you talking about? We don't have any pros. Like, everyone, shut up. Be cool, man.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's really good.
Yeah. Let's just say that a bunch.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He should be sixth man of the year, I hope. And he should be, man, he probably would finish, like, third in all AC, you know, rookie of the year.
There's definitely somebody on Pitt who deserves to be sixth man of the year.
Just for staying on the team.
I still can't name a single player on the team.
Oh, I have a game for you later. Don't worry.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the national landscape or the ACC landscape, too. The way the tournaments are shaking up, I know we discussed the normal boogeymen for the Hoos. Are there any teams that aren't Michigan State, Syracuse, Florida, outside of those, Villanova? I don't know. What do you feel about Villanova? Would you want to see them as potentially the 2 seed, or even if we're talking Final Fours? Like, who do you most want to avoid, and who of the top teams are you thinking, I'm not worried about them at all, or I'm worried about them the least? Because we should be worried about every team a little bit.
I don't want I want I want a Virginia Villanova final like more than life itself. Well, maybe not, because Villanova is really good. They don't play any defense.
Yeah,
they're almost an exact opposite of where Virginia is. Ken
statistic Palmer. Rankings, they are. Yeah,
is it exact? I know it's been hovering around.
I mean, every game they play, it switches a little.
But they have the best offense. Virginia is the best defense, and then both of them are right around like 35-45, depending on the week when it comes to defense versus Virginia's offense. The usual ones that scare me are like the really good 3-point shooting teams. So like a Butler, a Xavier. I would prefer not to see Blewett. A team with like a really good big man, like Arizona scares me a little bit.
Arizona terrifies me.
Alonzo Trier, but they've also NC State beat them.
Also like suck. You know,
it all depends what day you get them.
But they could be really good, and you don't want to face them on the.
I want Oklahoma.
Oh God!
Devin.
I want Oklahoma.
I feel like Devin could shut down Trae Young, and then
Oklahoma is garbage.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I'm saying, ugh, because I don't want to watch that game.
They're going to be our 16 seed.
That would make me go, like, yeah, this is, yeah, I get why people.
I'd like to avoid almost every middle of the chunk ACC school, because I think that's what happens. Like, I don't like running into a conference opponent that's supremely underranked or like ranked lower than. Basically, the Syracuse thing to me was such a perfect storm.
Yeah, so like Florida State is our 8 seed?
Yeah, I don't want to see a Virginia Tech. I don't want to see a Florida State like that plays and beats a couple people and then ends up as like the 9 or 10 seed that makes it through. Like that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else I'm missing that. I don't know how I feel about Purdue.
We can beat Purdue. Purdue's not good.
Yeah,
I'd rather play Purdue than like Michigan.
Michigan, I was gonna say Michigan is the other one. Like, although Jack versus Mo Wagner would be very fun. Yes, come here.
Ugh, Michigan. Ugh, I think they'd beat the crap out of Ohio State.
Yeah, that was a good game.
That would be fun. No, I'm talking about the Hoos if they play Ohio State. I think they would decimate them. Arizona State saw them in a bracket as like. An 8 or 9.
That
I think
it scares me less.
No, it doesn't scare me at all. I think
the latest, like I said, the latest one, it was Arizona State and who was the other?
Ow. It's Arizona State and Seton Hall is our 8-9. Wichita State and Rhode Island is our 4-5.
Seton Hall would probably win that game, though. I'm not good at brackets whatsoever. So.
And it has the 2 as Auburn and the 3 as Texas Tech. That's a great bracket.
Oh, I mean, Auburn's not the same. They lost their, like, one big man.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl will be sanctioned by then, too.
So. I don't know. They work pretty slow on those things. Carolina.
Look at Louisville today, by the way. It looks like we're undefeated against Louisville now. the one win they got over Virginia was
that year?
It was a whole time frame. I didn't realize it was 4 years worth of wins.
Gotcha. Well, before we get into any closing games that you all have thought of, let's talk a little bit about the Georgia Tech game coming up at home. How bad is Georgia Tech, Matt?
They're not Pitt bad, but they're like one level above Pitt bad. They are.
The spread awful. Is 20. Like 20 and a half.
That's a lot.
Well, they just lost that work. Because that's just a lot of points.
But I mean,
that's a lot. I am very concerned to see.
You're nervous because you're going to be betting on it, or
no. I just get I just get nervous. That's just a lot. Like, oh my god.
So just because it's a basketball game, it makes you want to throw.
Okay. They did also just lose that poor kid Alvarado. He
kid
had
from New York.
Bone right. poking out of his arm during a game.
I hate it when that happens.
So, ew. I hope he's doing better. That sucks.
They've lost 9 of their last 10.
Uh-huh.
Who's the one they beat?
Syracuse at home by 4.
Syracuse. They're going to sneak into our region, and it's going to suck.
All right. So we're feeling comfortable.
Spread's going to be for Pitt. Can Virginia hold Pitt under 30 points?
I think the biggest that I saw was Duke was favored when Duke and Pitt played earlier this year. Duke was favored by 29. We won't get that because we're at Pitt, but I mean, assuming we beat Georgia, yeah. it'll be 20.
Well, as we all know, Pitt can sneak up on you, right, Matt?
Pitt is garbage.
Dang it!
What other years have they been garbage?
They've been garbage pretty much every year since DeJuan Blair left.
I do agree that they were garbage last year, and yet the Hoos
they
were
shot
unable
60% from three.
But these Hoos are not last year's Hoos.
These Hoos are not last year's Hoos.
At Great Lake. Then, so we've got Georgia Tech, we've got Pitt, we've got at Louisville, who is playing pretty well. And then home versus Notre Dame, which is super interesting game to close out on. You know, it's home, senior day. It's in the afternoon, which, you know, but it's a Saturday game. I think people will be up for it regardless. And they haven't played Notre Dame this year.
Yeah,
Bonzi Colson might be healthy by then.
Yep.
That's going to be really interesting. I think you're going to see a significant challenge, or they're going to beat the absolute piss out of them because that's what they usually do against Notre Dame, even when Notre Dame's better than they are right now. So I think we're looking good headed into the Brooklyn tournament, but a lot of games left. If I can be as predictably nondescript as possible, Matt, how do you see things finishing up regular season wise?
I don't know how you predict a loss, right? I mean, it wouldn't shock me to drop. I guess maybe the Notre Dame game if Bonzi's back, but that's at home. I don't know how you predict. Look at that. Georgia Tech, Pitt, Louisville, Notre Dame, and say we're going to lose one of those. I mean, Louisville just got beat by 25 at home by Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Carolina is playing a lot better.
Carolina's playing well, which is why them and Duke will be the 2-3 in the ACC tournament on the other side of the bracket.
That's thank best God! Case scenario.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean,
that's really what the Hoos need to root for.
Yeah.
For sure. And looks like a likely scenario, too. So. Let's hope for that. I'm totally fine with playing the Hokies again in Brooklyn or anywhere else. I mean, yeah, obviously if they play in the NCAAs and you lose again, like just shut it down. Just yeah, everything, sports are over, and that's worst case scenario. But I don't think it would happen. I'm not worried about playing that garbage team again. They're so bad. I'm
Justin Robinson.
So angry.
Bricks up against Duke the next game. I'm telling you, that kid could not miss at JPJ, and he could not hit the broadside of a barn at Cameron. I give them credit. They played their best game. They were well prepared. They played a great game.
Yeah.
I think the most likely loss in the last four is going to be at Louisville. I just think that's one. Mm-hmm. The problem that we're running into now, especially being the one seed or the number one overall or whatever, ranked number one in the country, is everyone looks at you as a target anyway when you're number two. It's not like, oh, well, we'll win a big game.
Yeah, if you're a top 10 team.
If you're a top 10 team, whatever. However, especially with Louisville and then Notre Dame on the stretch, Notre Dame has a very, 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 very long shot at making the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that they've been just terrible in the ACC, but everyone knows that they didn't have all the players. So if they can pull off a couple upsets on the stretch, especially over the number one team or make a run in the tournament, whatever, then they could make some noise. Louisville also needs a big win. So being that person on the calendar still, that's they could be the big win. So I think that here's the other thing that would piss me off about that Tech loss. If it ends up Sarah Bennett's not happy, she wants her opinions known too. If it ends up being the only loss in the ACC, then I will go back to being supremely angry at that game.
Yeah, sure. I get what you mean.
17-1, then I will go back and be in a fit of rage about losing the overtime game.
Well, it looks like that could be it. So,
That said, I want to win
emotionally
all the
rest of
the
games. Prepare
yourself. Don't make this thing like, oh, she wants to lose another game, so it's not the only loss. No, I want to win all of them. I want to win everything.
All right, before we close up, Matt, you had a game.
So I have a question for you guys. I'm going to give you guys four names, and I want you to tell me which one is not averaging 20 minutes per game for the Pitt Panthers. Okay?
Okay, so they're all definitely Pitt players? Or
maybe not. Oh, okay. Maybe not.
Wait, okay. So how many – we have to tell you which one is not the Pitt
player? Is not the Pitt player. Okay. Marcus Carr, Charlie O'Connell, Parker Stewart, Jonathan Milligan.
There's a Milligan. I know that.
The second one.
So Milligan, but he could be like a bench player that isn't averaging. But yeah, Milligan's on, so I'm not guessing him. I'll go C.
I'm going B.
So Caroline is going Parker Stewart, and Pierce is going Charlie O'Connell.
Oh, wait, no, I want Charlie O'Connell. That's the one I wanted.
You both want Charlie O'Connell? I'm very confused. Yeah, I want Charlie O'Connell.
Well, now I want A because I don't want to be guessing the same thing.
Okay.
So I guess second.
Okay. So in this case, where I no longer know what anyone's answers were, Caroline is right.
I was right.
Charlie O'Connell was the seventh bachelor whose season aired back in March of 2005.
He's the brother of Jerry O'Connell.
Sure, because that's a well-known family. Marcus Carr, Parker Stewart, and Jonathan Milligan are all averaging over 20 minutes a game for the Pitt.
I knew there was a Milligan. I'm happy with my performance.
He's pulling in 20 minutes and 5 points a game.
I should not laugh. We're going to lose.
Yeah. You've doomed us. Oh. Whatever. We don't play the basketball games. Nothing we do actually impacts them. That's something important to keep in mind. And for all you listeners, the same holds true. So with that, I look forward to the rest of the games. Stay tuned to the blog for all your spring sports and basketball coverage. And we'll be back soon, hopefully before Brooklyn, or maybe from Brooklyn. Wouldn't that be fun? If you want us to podcast from Brooklyn and prove that someone listens all the way to the end of these, say so in the comments, or tweet at us. Go Hoos.